Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thou art worthy of praise. Thou art worthy of praise, O Lord. For we are, Father, worms of the earth. Dying because we are corrupt. But then you send your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Father in heaven. You love us, that's why you did it. And he came walking down and crossed our path and began to talk to us and showing us your love. And he laid down his life for us. Not only that, Father, we know he said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And there where I am, you shall be also. What promises? What assurance that you have given us, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that He gave His life for us and save us. And we thank you, Father, that we belong to Jesus. We belong to Him. For out of from His sight we were taken and formed into a bride for Him. Oh, Father, what a privilege that so one day we're going to hear His voice come shouting and He said, rise up and sit down by me. What a day that will be, surely, Lord. We give you all the praise today that we can gather here, Father, to worship you, to hear your word, to come to that place now, Father, of understanding of the closeness of the hour, that we are going to hear that voice that says, rise up! Rise up and come with me back home and sit with me in my throne. Oh, what a day that we're going to look forward to. Surely, Lord, we know that it's coming. So help us, Lord, as we study thy word. May this word of yours, Father, be engraved into our hearts. And that it stays there, Lord, that we may not sin against thee. Father, the hour is late truly, and we thank you. Ask for your blessing now. Break it down to an understanding for us, Lord, in this hour. Asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I want you to turn with me into the book of Revelation. We already studied last Sunday that the seal book contains nothing but all the names or things or whatever that we can say that God wants to redeem out of this hole. That seal book was written in the inside as well as on the backside. Means that the container is full. You cannot add to it, neither can you subtract from it. And it is actually there for representation of the book of life. And that book of life is that which you hold in your hand. And so all these are spiritually speaking, figuratively speaking, symbolically, or whatever, however you want to describe it, concerning this seal book. So, that seal book is the title deed, the book of redemption. Now when he broke the first seal, what do we have? We saw last week that the first seal was a white horse, went forth. Now the important understanding, as I said again, the word that is translated in our Bible. When the first seal was opened, John heard a voice and he says, "Come and see." But as I said, the word "come and see" is a word that can be translated. When it's translated from the Greek word, the King James translator at that time decided to use the word "come and see." But it could be, "Behold, go, go and see, go," or just like that, or just "come." So, there's always a problem when people read the Bible as if the Bible was written in English, and so that has become a point, a problem. Now, let me say this. The first four seals in the book of Revelation, it has been known as, and is very well known, and is called the four horsemen, the four horsemen of Apocalypse. Is that right? It's very well known. They are always called the four horsemen. They always call that the four horsemen of the Apocalypse. And from that time on, everybody used that, and because of that, they think that for what the interpretation that was given in the churches must be right. And the fact is, many times the churches has been wrong. Now, when we read here, we see that the horse did not come out from the book. I have people who are in the message tell me they came out from the book. No, it didn't come out from the book. But the seal was broken as the lamb broke the first seal. There was a voice that said, "Go and don't look." He said, and I want you to pay notice to the Bible. Because every time when a vision is shown, we need to understand how the vision went and was shown to John, as you see. And what comes up first? If you look at chapter 6, it says here, in verse 2, "I saw, behold, a man sitting on a white horse." Is that what the Bible said? Now, I don't want to tell you this because it's important. Sometimes I want to read it in a way that is not there, so I want to see whether you pay attention. And John said, "I saw, and behold, a man riding on a white horse." Now the Bible didn't say this. The Bible said a white horse. Then a man sat upon it. So there is a different approach. The important thing is, it's about the horse. But the horse must have someone riding on it. So what is a horse? A horse is an animal. A horse is a beast. But a horse is not a wild beast. That's why it's never translated a wild beast or a beast. Whenever you see the word beast in the Bible, in the Greek, it is therion, which means an animal in the wild. And they are usually untamed. But a horse, no. It may be a wild horse, that may be true. But when he says a horse, you know it's not a wild horse, because next moment he tells us, and there's one sitting on it. So it is about the horse, and the horse is a beast, or an animal that goes running. And you know in the Bible, the beast represents the spirit. Right? Now you know what the first beast is in the Bible when it talks about the beast that came out of the water, out of the sea. What beast is that? You have seven heads and ten horns. Right? So what is it? It's the Spirit. And the Spirit moves in man or a government or a nation or a kingdom. Right? So when we look at it, there is a horse. Now the horse is white and it goes riding. And there is one that sits upon it. There is this one control that spirit. There is furthermore a spirit that moves forward. So how did the Spirit come about? We already studied last week that at the time of the apostles, Paul wrote about it. Now what it is, the spirit of Nicolaitan. Spirit of Nicolaitans. Remember? That's the spirit that goes about it. It was influencing some men. Then that spirit incarnated into man. And some men became saying, oh, I'm the Pope. I'm the one. And that's why there was a man that sit on it. To begin with, it was just a spirit. Then it became a doctrine. It became a dogma. And someone write that spirit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It didn't just pop up. So we know that the white horse last week we studied. The one who sits on it, well, you know, he wasn't king. He wasn't born of royalty. Huh? Because a crown was given to him later. A crown was given to him in the year after Constantine, the emperor of Rome, embraced Christianity. Huh? And then the Church of Rome, the bishop, crowned himself as the Pope, Valerius Philadelphus, in the state, in the position of Christ. Whatever I speak, I, the Pope, whatever I speak, is the Word of God. That's how it started, like that. Do you understand? So he wanted to be king. The sort of crown was given to him. He never had. He wasn't born of royalty. Christ was born of royalty from the lineage of King David. And Christ Jesus was the son of David. He's going to sit on that throne of glory when he comes back to this earth, and he will judge the whole nations of the world. All the nations of the world. See. And of course, the one who sat upon this white horse, he had a bow but no arrow. Went for to conquer the souls of men. Alright. So that's what we learned last week. Now, we want to look at a second seal now. It says in verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, go. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Alright. As you already know, that in denominations, the four horsemen, as they like to call it, they are all, hasn't happened yet. They are saying that these four horsemen will start riding, and the event of these four horsemen will only happen when the church is gone. And it will happen in the first 3.5 years of the 7-year last 7-year period of the 70th week of Daniel. 70 weeks of Daniel. So, but there are others of course who said that, oh, this four horsemen has already been riding. Well, you know, if you want to take it literally and give it a type and shadow, then of course, we already know the fourth region started already in the Garden of Eden. And then after the flood, they started over there in Mesopotamia by Nimrod. And then it spread all around the world. There's a people who completely lost God. Oh, the real true God. The worship of the real true God. The one true God. You know. You just imagine the three sons of Noah. They all know Yahweh. And they came down from Mount Ararat. Go and live out there in Shinar. The population increased. The three sons and their descendants multiply. And all the children and children's children and continue down, they all mixed with each other. The Ham's people perhaps married to Japhethite people and then married also Shemite people and so, obviously, because they lived together. But there are some that were so particular that would not. So just imagine they were there. Already they have the understanding about Yahweh. But how come in less than, 300 years? So much so that because of Nimrod, because of his pride, he just become defiant. He want to make himself a king, somebody. He want to become an immortal. And he created his own religion, worshipped. He put fear on people. And you just imagine us, about that space of time, even the descendant of Shem's line was so much influenced by the religious paganistic worship of Nimrod. Now by that time, when Abraham was called, you just imagine that even his family was so much degenerated into all these idols, all different idols. There are so many gods out there, just like in India, just like in China. Think about it. And they even almost forgotten Yahweh, if it wasn't for God that called Abraham. You see. Of course, in that time there were still some people like Job. Was scattered out there somewhere in Mesopotamia or maybe someplace in Canaan. You know, they still remember and know Yahweh. They all scattered out here and there, but only a handful. And so the same it is today. We have all these churches, but they have degenerated because of tradition. This is the way my church believes, so that's the way I believe. They don't care how the church, they don't care about the Bible actually. They only believe what the pastor say. And I already taught you, don't hear and believe what I say. You better believe what the Bible says. Don't hear, don't believe what I say. Do you see that? So, by the time, of course, as people migrate after God confounded the language, and that's what you see around the world, in many, many countries, Yahweh is not known. If it wasn't for God who chose Abraham, they caused Yahweh to be known, the one true God, then all the other countries they don't have. So remember, the sovereignty of God and God's grace. As the Bible says, God said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Jesus Christ came down to this earth. He didn't come to save everyone. He came first of all to search for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But because of their stubbornness once again, blooded their eyes turned to you and me, Gentiles. So now,
We look at the second beast. And what the Bible said. Now remember the first beast, the first horse that started riding. It's still riding. All the horses, when it started, it rides to the end. Do you understand? It never stopped riding. Huh? Okay, so this is the spirit of the Antichrist working in the church. It's not working out there in the world. God is concerned about the truth within His body of Christ. You know, God doesn't care about the pagan people. In a certain place, if they want to worship their God and make of a piece of stone or the wood or a peacock or the serpent or the monkey, that's up to them. But when God calls and you become a part of His family, He's more concerned with you. You understand that? I know God so loved the world, yes, that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's a frank, very frank, simple statement. But how many people really look at that verse and say, I believe? God loves you. But He doesn't love you even though you just continue to hate Him and say, I don't believe in God. Jesus Christ is just a man, a figure. And if that's the way you want to go, the way of the children of Israel, and what did God say about the children of Israel? Huh? How many times they have rebelliously even destroy and kill not only just the word of God but the prophets that were sent to them. You understand? So God is concerned about the church, and so this is how the Antichrist spirit work through the spirit of Nicolaitanism. Then that was just only a spirit working, you know, and then later on it became a doctrine. And then it became a dogma. And finally it became something real. When a man controlled the whole church and detect whatever is in his heart. And that spirit will ride all the way to the end. Now, the second horse, or the second seal, seal number two, when it was broken, that was a red horse. This red horse went riding, and there was one that sat on it. And the Bible said it was given to him a great sword. Now, every time you read the Bible, the word sword, 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 you think that it's just sword. But this word here, translated sword, comes from the Greek word. Well, that depends on whether you are Greek speaking, pronouncing the word, or you are a Turk that pronounced the word, or you are a Syrian that pronounced it. Because some people pronounce it as machera, some people pronounce it as makera. So that's what we call tongues. How you articulate the word. So makera, and many times that's how they pronounce, like Chaldean. People pronounce it as Chaldee. So we always tend to pronounce it as CH, not as K. You know? Alright. So, Makera, when the word is used like that, it means a sword of war, a destruction. That sword is used for destruction, killing. So he was given a great sword, and what did the Bible here said? Power was given him to take peace from the earth, and there that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Now, power was given to him to kill one another. So when did this spirit of the Antichrist work? Now, it was not given to the government out there, like for example, people were saying, this is what a red horse, it means war. And so, God gave this great sword to Russia, to America, so they can fight each other. to the ISIS, you know, to the fanatic out there in Iran, so that they could go and kill one another. Right? And it's not what it meant. Because there's only one horse. And there's only one who sits on that horse. Remember? And that one who sits on that horse, he already had a crown. And the one who sits on that hopped from the white horse to a red horse, so to speak, you know. He changes horse. He came first with the horse, riding on that white horse. Well, white always looks pretty, you know, pure. That's why bridegroom, brides, I mean. The bride always had to wear white. Symbolize that it's pure, a virgin, things like that. Right? Of course, in those days, as I said, already in ancient times, they don't wear white. It's because they took it from the Bible. White. So that's a symbol. So now, since that he could not, the Antichrist could not, well, influence the church. Because what happened? That in the year when the Nazi Council was, when it convened to talk about the Trinity, there's already a tussle between those who believe in three persons of the Godhead and from those who did not. And those who did not are people like Alexander and Arius. And of course, throughout the whole of the European world, because the Roman Catholic Church was so powerful, the Church in Rome was so powerful, that somehow, you know, the formula for the Godhead was won by them. So, after that, the Church of Rome became so powerful that you remember in the Second Church Age to the Third Church Age, there's a lot of false doctrine that was being taught by the Catholic Church. And it continued. And you know what? Now that this guy, the Antichrist, the Pope, was already a crowned king, a triple crown. You know, when you are king, you have the power, the authority, to do whatever you want, to order whatever you want. And so he went for killing now. From the Second Church Age. You know, or from the end of the Second Church Age, so to speak. That he went for killing. Just imagine. He went on killing. And from the period of the 4th century, especially, from 354 to the 18th century, it's about 1400 years. The more killing takes place. And you know what? It's written in the book of the Glorious Reformation by S.S. Smucker. He said that 68 million people were killed. 68 million people were killed by the Catholic Church. Now that's a whole lot of people. Think about it. And who are the people they killed? Not all of them are Christian. No, no. They killed the Jew. Why they killed the Jew? Because why? They said that the Jew was a Jesus killer. Because Jesus was killed by the Jew. Oh my goodness. Who killed the Jew? Who killed Jesus? Come on, tell me, who killed Jesus? You did, John, yes. You killed Jesus. We all killed Jesus. Practically in that sense. Now that we realize he died because of our sin. Because we were rebellious against God. We were born into the world wicked. But there are people who are still in the world today killing Jesus. And even in the denomination, the people are still killing Jesus. They're killing the word. But, well, the Antichrist spirit, they go out there, they kill with this great sword a lot of Jews. And who are the next group? The Protestants. Not because the Protestant they protest. As I said before, it's not the word protest, huh? Protestant are not the one, some Catholic people who doesn't know. Oh, you're a Protestant. You always protest against the Catholic Church. No, I said we are not protesting. The word protest comes from no protest, which means to, in this I stand. In this word of God I stand. This is what I stand. You know. And that's what Martin Luther did. He wasn't protesting against the Catholic Church. He said, this is what the Bible said. I'm thus. This is what he said. It's truth. So the next group was those that who are, well, disagreement with the Catholic Church dogmas and doctrines. What about the third group? Huh? The major group, majority of the group, of course, is the Protestant and the Jew. The next group are those who happen to be just getting in the way. You know, there are people who are not Christian, who are not Jew, but they don't love what was going on. They don't want to bow down to the system. You know, and they died. And that's what happened to the third horse when he came forward with the baton in his hand. And that's why more people died, because there was scarcity of food. For 1400 years at that period of time, oh my, just imagine, 68 million people died. Now, when we read the verse 3 and verse 4, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast. You see the word? I heard the second beast say. What is the second beast? Well, you know what a second beast is, right? Now, the first beast was a lion. That's the way we need to understand. Here he's talking about the beast and the horse. The beast and the horse. So if you are talking about natural war, what has it got to do with the beast? The ox. Right? All these are spiritual warfare in the church. And when the church that is anti-Christ got very upset because you disagree with them concerning their faith or concerning their interpretation of the scriptures, then they will cut off your head. And if they are in control, like what happened in the dark age, because the anti-Christ was king, all you have to do is follow an edict. Whatever you want. Say this, by this authority of the Church of Rome, blah, blah, blah. You cannot sell. If you are a trader, if you are a seller, if you are a retailer, to anyone who do not believe in the Mother Church. So what then? So there are people who, well, they're not Jews, they're not Protestants, and if they're just fear for this life of theirs, okay, I believe I'm a Catholic. You can sell it to me. But those who hate the system, whether you be a Jew, whether you be a Protestant, or just happen to be one who just dislike it, they're getting in the way. And they kill. And the period of the Inquisition, oh my. If you haven't read the book, very thick book, as thick as my Bible. 50 Years in the Church of Rome. That was the title of the book by Father Charles Cheneke. He was a priest in the Church of Rome for 50 years. And he finally, his eye was opened. And he wrote that book. And the character has been since for a long time trying to destroy the book. And I even know of a man whom I correspond with back in the 70s in Australia, Sydney. He had a bookshop. And he even sell books, you know, posted it and mailed it out to other countries. I had a correspond with him, and that's why I bought all those Alberto book comic book, and Father Charles Cheneke, the book of 50 Years in the Church of Rome, and many other books. And he told me what happened. He says every time he ordered a book from America, it's always this Jesuit, you know, who know what the publisher who printed where the book is going to go. They would try to destroy the container. And at one time he said, this container was burned. Everything was gone. Just imagine that. You see. Silence the author. If he's gone, silence the publisher if you can. No, silence the seller. If not, silence the one who reads it. Do you know? Even at that time in the dark age, you're not supposed to have a Bible in your home. Huh? Do you know that? Because you're not supposed to read it. Because you cannot interpret, because you do not know how. Only the priests know how to interpret it. Oh God, have mercy upon today's Christian. You know, I was here Friday. I went to the toilet. And then there was a man who came in wearing short pants, and he came in, and I just said hello to him. I said, oh, you're having a service over there? He said, yes, we're not really having a service, but just some Bible study and prayer. I said, we have it over here. Oh, you have it. What church are you from? He asked me. I said, oh, we are independent. I just given the name Prophetic Revelation Fellowship. Oh, independent. No, you cannot be independent. Must belong to a denomination, right? What denomination you must have? It must come from a denomination. You see? So no, we are independent. I mean, no, you must be something. I said, I'm not Methodist, I'm not Baptist, I'm just plain Bible Christian. There's no such thing, but no such thing, but no, you know how sad that is. People go to church and they don't know anything. And that's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said to the woman at the well, he spoke to the Pharisees and Sadducees, you claim to have Moses, Abraham, the prophets. And he told Nicodemus, he's supposed to be a religious leader, supposed to be a leader of Israel. And you don't even know what I'm saying when I said to you, thou shalt be born again. Now you think about this, oh, I'm going back to my mother's womb. How can that be possible? And to the woman at the well, who told Jesus, you know, this here, this well belongs to Jacob, this is the mountain. Oh, it was Jacob's well, this well was our inheritance, and this is where we worship. And Jesus said, you worship, you don't know what. Salvation is of the Jew. That's true. So don't let us Gentile boast about it. If you worship for God to give the oracle to the Jew, you and I would not know about the one true God. Is it important for us to know the one true God? It is. Not like I have my half brother who told me. You know, maybe there's a God. Okay, there's a God. But I don't know which God. I don't know which religion. So I just read it. You know what I think? This is like washing your hand. So I don't know God. Yeah, I know He exists. I don't know which religion. So if I die, I stand before Him. I said, you know, there's so many religions. I don't know which one is you that you are in. Well, like, you know, Brother John Paul Lingam, I still remember. When I first knew him, he was saying there was a room. When I went and visited the home, there was a room and there was a lot, there were shelves. But they were all empty. And I said, what happened? What is on the shelf? And he told me the story. He said, I have all kinds of idols and gods on the shelf. The Chinese, the Indian, the Kali, the Shiva, Mary, and whatever. He said, all that was here. And I worshipped every one of them. I said, why do you do that? He said, no. There are so many of them. One of them must be right. I said, that is to say God Himself. You know what I mean? I worship everyone. And this one of them must be correct. Of course, there was a time when he didn't know about the Lord Jesus.
That when he knew that, so he removed all those idols.
You just imagine how the human mind works. And that's why we came to the world. We do not know. We are living in sin. And if it wasn't for God to give him grace, he would not know Christ. If it wasn't God to give you and me grace, we would not know Christ. I don't know what I'll be doing or what I'll be believing. Maybe, like many people, money is God. Career is God. Huh? Some people worship their wife. My wife is my God. Oh yeah, you laugh. Yes. You know, so it's just that vain imagination of people. But anyway, what did he say right here, interestingly? In the second beast. Let us look again. I heard the second beast says, come. What is the second beast? Because this second horse, that when riding was red, it started killing during the church age. So now, the spirit that says coming or go is the spirit of the ox or the calf. And that animal symbolizes sacrifice. Oh, just imagine, during the age of Pergamos, oh, a lot of them died. Lots of people died, start dying. Isn't that terrible? Or certainly it's terrible. But, you know, it's just like, it just reminds me of plants. Huh? Oh, the cycle of life, you see. Just imagine you are here sitting today and alive because some animal died for you. And it is true, some animal died for you and me. Whether it be a chicken, whether it be a pig, whether it be a cow. Something has to die for us to live. That's why I said death in death is life. And it's just a cycle. So many Christians that die, they just die because they are willing to face this red horse. And give their life up. And because of that, the Reformation was so important. Do you understand that? Oh, the Reformation. Yes. That's why it started the Reformation. When the red horse went out and here came the ox spirit, they're willing to face that sword. And he created and started a Reformation. The third seal. Verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast. You see, that's important about the beast again. Huh? We all know the Bible arranged the beast. As you already know in the first, in chapter 4. I think let's go to chapter 4. It says in verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of grass. And in the midst of the throne, not above the throne, there were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had the face of a man. As a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. In this order. And that's what the Bible had put the four beasts in that order in the fourth gospel. What is the first gospel? Everybody should know. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You also remember your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and so on. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew is one. It's the lion. Huh? Mark is the cow. Luke is the man. It represents Christ as in humanity. All those gospels is, each of the gospels represents Christ in that spirit of the animals. And that's why John, the book of John, it shows the divinity of Christ as the eagle to fly high. Okay, so now the third beast says, come and see. And the third beast, of course, is the face of a man. Huh? Oh, actually, you won't do it. The word beast is terribly wrong word. Because a human being is not a beast. If the word is mistranslated, the proper word should be living creatures. Right? A bird, the eagle is not a beast. It's a bird. The only beast that we have is what? It's the lion and the calf. Anybody, the calf is not a wild beast. It's not Tyrion. So, I sometimes you find that people say the King James Version is the only Bible that is most accurate, blah blah blah. Yeah, sometimes it's a word that's not properly translated. It's called living beasts. Living creatures. Alright, so we try to remember use the word living creatures. So the man is a living creature, I'm a living creature. So. Okay. So let the living creature. So look at the third horse. Here we have the third horse. And it's black. You went for riding. So why this third horse riding came out and start riding? Though already the first and the second horses, they were already riding together. The spirit are moving. Only the most active one in this particular time of the third seal is the black horse. Huh. Okay, and he says here, and I behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard the voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for the penny, and three measure of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, if this has to do with natural famine that is to come, as according to the interpretation of the denomination concerning the four horsemen of the apocalypse, then what has it got to do with this oil and wine? Hurt not the oil and wine. So you see what happened back then. In the year when this horse was released, and we always know that, okay, black means famine. Huh? It started in the 5th century. 5th century. In the year 400 plus. I told you just before that, in the year 354. Okay, about a century before, the horse that went out killing, the spirit that went out killing took place already. But then as one killing, you know what I mean, at the same time, because of the pressure of the current church upon the people, that even, you know, there is a famine for the word of God. So now, the Bible used this depiction to show us, he had a balance in his hand. And it says, a measure of wheat for a penny. And three measure of barley for one penny. The word penny, of course, is because King James will use the word penny. But a denarius. Okay, a denarius is a coin that is a man's wage for the day's work. Huh? Now you may say, that's kind of small, is a denarius. But you know, back then, let's say that 30 years ago in Singapore, if you have $1, how much is this worth today? It's $10, about that, more or less. Do you know? I remember when I was working back then in the 60s, 70s, my wages is on $200. But today, you think you can live on $200? You probably have to have $2,000 minimum. No, huh? See how do your money has ballooned? I remember 30 cents for wonton meat, wonton noodle. 30 cents, nice. 20 cents for the one with soup. The dry one is 30 cents. I remember all that back then. But not today, wonton noodle, one plate, how much it costs you? Minimum $3, right? So it's 10 times that amount. You see, so what is a denarius? It's a man's wage for the one day. But you know what? He could only buy one measure of wheat with it. And that measure of wheat is enough for one man. He can't buy any more. The money has deflated to become worthless. He should be able to buy with that one penny. At least, not one measure, but two or three measures for the family. Or three measures of barley. Barley is cheaper. Because which is more important? People take with money and they take money. So he is talking about the scarcity of food. And you know that is true, not in the natural, because when the caliph controls the world at that time, when he controls the church, what happened in the church? People are not having the real spiritual food. Do you know that? Of course, they're not even getting anything anywhere when they go to a Catholic church. You know what happened? People go to the Catholic church. How long is the Catholic church worship takes place? You go there, sing some hymns, and then hear the Pope, maybe just 20, 30 minutes, and that's it. But the real fact is this. The church forbid people to read the Bible. If you have the Bible, they see you have the Bible, they will take you and they torture you and they put you in the stake. Huh? And if you try to help heal somebody because you have knowledge of the herbs of the field, and you boil the herbs and you add this herb to this herb into a bottle, they say that you are a witch and they burn you alive. You know, all that funny thing that was going on, the mentality. That's why I said many times, don't be religious. When you are religious, you behave like an idiot and a fool. You know, it's true. Look at what's going on out there in all the world with all these various religions. Look into Jehovah's Witnesses. What is Singapore banned? Jehovah's Witnesses. Go and study the history. How Jehovah's Witness started. You scare you to hell. Look at the moment. A few decades back. I think maybe 30, 40 years back. You remember Quraysh? Wako. The place is called WACO and he's Wako. You know? People died just like that because the FBI came in and stopped fighting with them. What about Jim Jones in Guyana? He was a false prophet, alright. People migrated from the country, went over there to live in Guyana, somewhere in South America? Called Guyana. They lived in an asylum up there in some remote place. And we heard that some army is coming in and trying to clear up all this issue. Jim Jones had all the people drink arsenic. And the body was everywhere. Mother, children, dead. They were drinking from a big pot of some syrupy drinks that they concocted, and they were arsenic in it, and they all died. I don't know how many thousands. That's how madness, how terrible it is when you are religious. That's why the Jews, the Pharisees, they are so religious. Kill him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar, popes. Oh my. You see how that they deny that? Who is the king of glory? And they say, we don't have no king but Caesar. They want to preserve their so-called high-class religion. Look at the church's student, brother, and says, don't say that I'm against religion. I am against religion, all right. That Abraham said, why I am against organized religion? Why we are not a denomination? Why I am against organized religion? Because when you organize, you're a fanatic. Look at the churches out there, even not so. How big a charismatic church really is. Millions of dollars. Are the people being fat? The reality is no. They have a social gospel, having a good time. The soul of the people is in the hand of the pastor. But I want to say this, the soul of the people is in their own hand as well. Do you know that, don't you? Yes. So, I'm going to look into this black horse. Sad. But from the 5th century to the 16th century, that's about 1,000 years now. You reduce that period to 1,000 years. Within that 1,000 years, there was religion the people don't have really the word of God. And because of the way that the caliph power was there, was controlling, food was also scarce. Oh, you look at the North Korea. Every time they put out in the paper, good news and all that. Have you ever seen the North Korean newscaster on TV? How she read the news or how he read the news? How many of you have seen that? You know, the way they've dramatized that is, the real. You ever seen that? Says, wow. You know, and they want to show their prosperity, which is actually not true. They show all these kids dressing nicely, dancing and having great fun, right? But you know, there's a lot of suffering behind that. Terrible. People don't really have the kind of food they want. But in Kim Jong-il, whatever his name is now, the son, Kim Jong-un, he's living in a 100-star apartment, a 100-star palace, whatever you want to call it. With all the food, the caviar! My goodness, the caviar! He loved caviar, it seems. And all the nice food there. And all those men behind him wearing all this brass turning on the shoulder. And all these are the ones that's behind him. They want to have the good life. So when man is in power, that's where the danger really lies. You know. Even false prophet. The power that's behind them is scary. You know, when Jesus came, he wasn't acting like all these religious people. He walked among the people in the market. They don't even know Jesus was the King of Glory, right? And there was the Messiah. They rubbed shoulder with him and walked and all that. And that's usually very common. The crowd, he was pushing all the walking. You know, nobody knew as he was. So the touching was common. But when a woman who is in need of healing touch, she touched him, it's a different touch. Somebody touched me. And you're supposed to say, well, everybody's touching you. But this was a different touch. You know. But today you look at somebody in front of big guys, you think they walk among people like that, they will have bodyguards. And that's the thing about it. Look at, oh my goodness. Just imagine the truth. The truth is not what people are looking at. That the person who is higher, big, sitting up there, must be the real guy. That's why our religion is like that. They predict, they depict, look at the character, look at the Pope, how he dressed. And now when the Pope comes to a certain country, he's always having this bulletproof vehicle that he sits in. Huh? Isn't it? How he's dressed. Do you think Jesus dressed in all the religious garb? Maybe one day I should come out here dressed in white with the collar thing inside out. With the hat. Maybe, you know. So, something like that. So you will look and see how the difference. So you will see absurd, isn't it? But that is what captivates the people. People are always, I was told when we all had a, when I went back and saw about in the car with Jimmy and Sister Corheim, you know, about, you know, you probably have read about it, the articles about the plate that you serve the food. If it's a red plate, they tested it that if it's a blue plate or another color plate, there is a reaction of the human eyes to the plate. You know, if it has a red plate, they finish the whole plate. If it's a blue plate, they don't feel, you know, they're going to lose the appetite. And if it's a black plate, I don't think you want to eat on a black plate. Nobody serve anything on a black plate. Plate, right? So you see, the eyes is what send the signal to the body and to the mind, all that stuff. So the same thing with religion. People look at the grandeurs of the temples, the cathedral, the church building. Huh? I remember years ago when we were fellowshipping over in the village. Bukit Timah, in the village, in the house. A brother to our sisters, you know, we shouldn't be worshipping in house like this. We should have a proper place. What is a proper place? What is a proper place for the worship? Under a building with a cross, that's a proper place? What is a proper place for fellowship? Jesus took the disciples just somewhere sitting down on stones. Right? Or in the field. That's fellowship. Fellowship is not a building. And that man called himself a pastor. I give him a big rebuke. You call yourself a preacher or pastor, what do you know about the Bible? When the church started in Jerusalem, where did they worship? Did they have a church building? Did they go to a temple? Or the Bible said they fellowship and worship in the houses? Oh my. So what do we have? 1,000 years from the 5th century to the 16th century. For 1,000 years. They invented all this purgatory. Huh? They sell indulgences. The Catholic Church sold indulgences back in the year 10-something. They started selling that. And they continue and they continue and continue. I went to the Catholic website and some of them defended the indulgences. You know. And they were saying that Martin Luther was not fighting against the indulgences. But in fact, Martin Luther was against it. What is indulgences? You buy them because you say, oh, my father is not a believer, now he is in the purgatory. Oh, I have certain sin, I can buy these indulgences so that my suffering or punishment will not be so great. A ticket to get you out of big trouble when you are judged. You buy it. And then they were selling these indulgences. And that's why Martin Luther, when he nailed the 95 theses right over here, in 1517, 31st October, he nailed the 95 theses on the Council Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And one of these was finding out greatly was against this selling of indulgences. Because why? It caused people to sin. And that's what the church is still doing it. When you sin, go to the confession box. And say, Father, I've sinned. How many of you ex-Catholics have gone to the confession box? Have you? You have. Right. How many of you? Anybody else? Sister Cora, you know, you were Catholic before. No, no. Sister Wally, you were Catholic before. So have you been to the confession box? Never. Good enough. You go there and say, Father, I've sinned. Tell me what I've sinned. My, what do you call you?
Child.
My child, yes. What have you seen? Oh, Father, I cannot tell you this. No, no, you must tell me this. And he got excited. And that's what Father Charles Sinek in the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome will tell you. When young girls commit a fornication because of something, tell me, my child, in detail, what you have done. 50 dirty old men with a dirty mind to hear a story like that. If you don't tell me, I cannot forgive you. Your sin. That's no different from indulgences. That's exactly what happened. One of the 50 years serving in the Church of Rome, Father Chan Jingye says, he saw enough and saw the reality of this. The lies. Even with that bread. Huh? And a cup of wine. And on one case he mentioned, he was supposed to give the communion to a family and members there. If I remember correctly, a priest went there and took the cup and wine and mumbled something over it, as you know, and the bread. He said, you have changed that into the cup, in the wine into the blood of Jesus Christ, the real blood. He said, yes. Well, then, when you drink it, it should be okay, right? Yes. Okay, Father, drink it. Why, I would drink it, sure. But I must tell you, Father, I have put some arsenic into it. So you have changed into the blood of Christ, to be okay, right? And the priest was screaming and said that all kinds of name and curse all kinds of words upon this girl, young lady, and running out of the house. Did it really change? Why change to the real blood of Christ? So you see, sometimes there are those who know the lies and hypocrisy of the Catholic Church. Well, I've exposed them. Sometimes, you know, that's very true for me. When I was in the Philippines, in India, in Africa, many times they call for a minister's meeting with all these Branhamites, some of them out there. And when I show them the scripture, I put on the truth, they get very upset. And you can see their anger, their character coming up. And they will say, okay, but anyway, I believe what Brother Branham said. I said, all right, you believe what Branham said, but you don't believe what the Bible said. You deny it. Plain facts. Plain facts of life. You know. All right, so what happened out here? For 1,000 years, this is what happened. People are afraid of purgatory pain. They don't want to suffer the burning in purgatory. By indulgences, yeah. They pay for everything. You know, the Catholic Church, the Catholic will pay for everything. From birth to death. They have to pay the Catholic Church. Born, pay the Catholic Church. Baptism, pouring water on the baby's head, pay. When you're sick, you come for prayer, pay. When you're dying, pay. Do you know, don't you? Huh? I said they were doctors. You pay them for service. They're supposed to be servant. You know, servants don't get paid like that. God pays them because they're God's servant. They serve God. God will pay them. But well, that's a heyday for 1,000 years. A lot of death. And you know what happened during that time of 1,000 years? Nothing moved. Time came to a standstill. Literally, time came to a standstill. You know, it's supposed to be knowledge will increase. If you go back before the dark age, knowledge was moving. But it came back to when it came to that knowledge time. In fact, it didn't even go forward, it in fact went backwards. No inventions, no innovation. Everything people want to do is consider that he is a witch or a necromancer. Or a wizard. To be burned on a stake. So how do you improve? How do you understand medicine? When somebody tried to have an understanding about herbs of the field and put together and boil it up and to serve it to somebody, they said that is a witch brew. Oh my. That's how it is. So there is a lot of death. People cannot buy. The poor people cannot afford to buy because they don't believe in the Catholic Church. And disease were there. The black plague were there. People just died. Oh my goodness. That's how it is. Alright. So, the beast or the living creature that fought against this black horse is the one with the face of a man. And that's when Martin Luther, when he saw the truth, when God stopped him on the way as he went up on the step to do his penance, and God spoke to him, Martin, the just shall live by faith. He heard the voice. He got up and he walked down the steps. Why those who are doing penance keep walking up and probably wondering why he's walking down? He had discovered the pearls of great price, as in the parable of Matthew 13. And he secretly studied until one day he wrote the 95 thistles, went to the castle church in Germany, Wittenberg, and nailed it to the doorpost, and everybody come along and look at it. Here it was, a man then that God used to start up a revival, open their eyes. And he told the people, the just shall live by faith, not by penance. You can't get away with sin by buying indulgence. Your Savior is not in the church. Your Savior is in Christ. And all the witches is fighting against the Catholic Church. And he was so bold enough that people thought he was going to die. because the church is going to get him. But there were a lot of people that supported him. And all over Europe, there was a revival. You get all kinds of men coming up. And one of them was Boucher. Then you have Zwingli. Then you have Calvin. You have John Knox. You have Kramer. All rise up over Europe. Because why? One man dared to stand up against the Antichrist. They were out there. People like John Knox, like Kramer, Calvin, Zwingli. They were all out there, but none of them was brave enough to take a stand. You know what I mean? So someone had to start it. Take one leaf. Take one man. Martin Luther, having 12 years in the Church of Rome, stood up against it. When those other up there in Europe and the news started to spread, they all come up. Oh my, what a revival. The Catholic Church there was shut down. And because why? Martin Luther dealt a blow to the head of the serpent. Huh? Wounded his head. You see. And so there was a framework of revival go all across Europe. Romans 1:17. We all know that. You don't have to turn to it. Well, this is what the verse that God spoke to Martin Luther. The just shall live by faith. And Revelation 13, verse 3. It says here, and I saw one of his head as he was wounded to death. And this is that which what happened in 1517. One of the head was wounded to death. But by the time that the white horse, by the time that the fourth horse came riding, the wound was healed. Okay, let's look at that, back to that chapter 6 again. Hurt not the oil and the wine. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So the oil and the wine you can never hurt. You know what the oil is, representation? What is the wine? There are two things that is common, I think in the book of John, someplace in chapter 10 maybe, that, you know, the Jesus has spoke about the parable of the good Samaritan. You remember?
Yeah.
You know. There was a man having injured, was robbed, and he was on the roadside, was caused his wound. No, the rabbi passed by, the good guy passed by, and all that, but here, nobody cared for that man that was injured. And he was a Samaritan. The Samaritan had nothing to do with the Jew, but the Samaritan got up from the horse or donkey, whatever he was on. Maybe he was just walking. He went up to the man. And he dressed his wound. He dressed his wound with what? Wine and then oil. These are the two components I told you about. Now, I don't know some of you, when you all go vacationing, travel to another country, I don't know what you carry with you. Some people just carry the toothpaste, the toothbrush, that's it. Huh? If you are going to be long, like if I go to India or go to Africa, I will carry me some, well, the little bottle of Pongjai, whatever, now I forgot. And then you have the one that is also liquid form, which is alcohol. It contains herb. And these are for what? To stop the diarrhea. You know what I mean? And I will carry me, of course, plaster. You know, you carry yourself plaster and some antiseptic cream. So in those days, they carried two things. All travelers normally do. A bottle of wine and a bottle of olive oil. Simple. You should have it in the house. You should try it. Whenever you have a cart, put some wine on it. Sometimes we don't waste wine. Some people want to pour wine, and I drink it. What do you know? You clean it because wine is alcohol. Alcohol will kill the bacteria. Clean it up. Then you dab it dry. And then you take the olive oil, put it on the lint. And then put it and bandage it up for healing. So that was the purpose when they used that. And so the Bible said, don't touch the oil, don't touch the wine. And what does oil represent then? Oil represents the anointing. Oil is the word, whenever somebody is anointed, they always are anointed with the olive oil. Okay? So what is wine? Wine represents the stimulation, a revelation. You know, when you drink wine, people get stimulated and they do crazy things. And that's not what the Bible said. Do not be drunk with wine. But with the Spirit, I get drunk with the Spirit, you know, you just go crazy. And that's what happened over in the day of Pentecost. They were so joyful. So you know why? When you get to, and these are the things that you cannot touch. And what is that you cannot touch? You cannot destroy, and that's the word of truth. Huh? You cannot destroy them. People are willing to die. That's why there were sacrifices. Those, the ox before that, they were just going in. Just going in. Just going in. Because during that period of time, even when that black horse came about, those people who have revelation of Jesus Christ know that the truth of this colored church is nothing but a whore. So they were accused of this, accused of that. They were willing to die. Just imagine that. The stimulation of revelation. Today, if you have the truth, you're anointed with the word of God, you have the stimulation of the truth of God's word, you know how joyful that is. You better hide it in your heart. Engrave it in your heart. We come to the last of the four beasts, four horsemen. Let's go now to verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four beasts, and that is the flying eagle. Go! And I look, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed after him. And power was given unto them over the four parts of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Alright, look at that chart a little bit. Here we have the fourth seal. Alright. Now, when it was opened, here went forth a pale horse. And the Bible used the word pale. Well, at least it was translated the way they can, because some people might not understand. Yet, on the same ground, to use the word pale is not quite right. The word pale is translated from the Greek word chloros. Chloros, you know, is green, chlorophyll. Alright, chloros. So it means green. It's verdant. Means bright green, nice light. But even though the Greek used that, people need to understand the horses before. The three horses before the fourth one. So, I guess in some way, the King James translator put pale, wasn't too bad. You know, because these were pale. It is a composition of all those three horses before. White, red, and black. So, in the actual oriental form, we will call it blackish green. Chinese say orchin. Correct or not? Huh? Blackish green. Pale. Sickly pale. Alright, look at the image I have. Now on that sickly pale thing, you know, and we'll see. This is a bruised. Huh? See the word green is here? Verdant. Green. Alright, so what is that pale is quite correct. In that it composed of white, red, and black. Alright, yeah, see this black. Then you have red, and you have white streaks here and there. So this is a bruise. But if you ever notice when you're bruised, you leave it and it starts healing. Okay? You see the white color coming back and all this, so you go back to normal. Is reviving itself. And that's why you use the word green. Green means, well, you see green plant coming up. Green always means life. Huh? If you ever see a plant that is not green, I don't know what color is that. Have you ever seen a red plant? A shoot that comes out is red. I mean, the leaf may be red or the flower may be red, but I'm talking about the shoot that comes out. It has to be green. It means life. So the earth is green. Green. Do you understand that? Alright, because that will just give you an understanding as how the word pale was used. But in actual fact, as I said, it is chloros. Chloros because this horse is trying to revive back. Why? Before it, Remember, Martin Luther bruised the head. In Revelation 13:3, one of the head was bruised. But now, the boy who bruised was dying. He had this bruise mark. But now, it's coming back to revive. How was it revived? That's pretty interesting. How did the Catholic Church revive itself? How did this Roman peace revive itself? If you look, well, we're not going through it, but just in brief. You know that there are two beasts that was mentioned in the book of Revelation. The first beast came out from the sea. That's in Europe. The second beast came out in America. On the land. Seas always represent that Mediterranean Sea, that Gendarme area. The raging sea out there. Because today, Europe is still raging. You know that, don't you? Yes. Because the composite of those four, composite of those six other nations before it, into the book of Daniel. That's what happened. It's always the raging and the fighting going on. The crisis will always be there. But the second beast that rises up from the land, that is in America. The first beast is Romanism. The second beast is Americanism. Now, I use the word ism. People won't want to use it. I use it because it's a spirit. Right? And if you look at Americanism, what is Americanism? It's a spirit in America. How do they behave? What kind of politics is that? What kind of system is going on? As I said before, there was that American brother that came to Singapore some years back. He came with another brothers and we went out eating. And he asked me, "Brother Gan, what is your system here in Singapore? What is the political system? It works so well." He was there for a few days already. He says, "Well, pretty well, system to work." So we are a republic. "Oh, we are also a republic." I said, "What's that?" I said, we are Democrat. "Oh, we are also Democratic." I said, "Yeah, I know you are Republican and Democrats, you know, I know that." I said, "But there's one thing you don't have. What's that?" I said, "We have socialism." The moment he heard the word, "What, communism?" I said, "Come on." I said, "Brother, socialism is not communism." "What not?" I said, "What happened to Russia, the socialist republic, Soviet socialism, you know, it's communism." I said, "That's what you Americans don't understand. You say Americans are educated. I don't educate them to what? They don't seem to understand." I said, "Socialism comes from the word social. Society. It means that there is a responsibility." But I said, "It is not that we all share things together. That we have to be responsible to our neighbors, to the society. We don't go around tearing down things and have free speech out there in the open accusing people, saying all kinds of things to hurt other people." I said, "You have this freedom, and that's why you have a problem. You'll never be solved. America is going downward. Because they want freedom. Freedom to hold a gun to shoot somebody. And that's given that give an open door to ISIS. And you know that there are a lot of cell groups out there in America." "Yes. And it's very scary." So it's a spirit. Romanism. When you hear about Romanism, you see how Rome had many gods. And that's why the Catholic Church was in Rome, and that's why they have all these saints is God. When you become deity, you worship the saints. Mary is God. So they have all these things. Americanism, Americans, the spirit, and the churches in America decided to, in the earlier 20th century, around the turn of the 20th century, they decided to form, an international sort of council just to have the churches together in America itself. Then it branched forth and they enlarged it and make it the World Council of Churches. And they have National Council of Churches within every country and the World Council of Churches as one whole body. And started in 1948 when they convened and established in 1948. And so through the ecumenical movement or the image to the beast, what is it called? Ecumenism. And ecumenism is a spirit. And what is their motto? The fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. So let us not talk about doctrine. So you're a Methodist? Good. You're a Baptist? Good. Because after all, we all go to heaven. And heaven is to be a Methodist, is to be a Presbyterian. Are you sure? People believe in that. So let's not quarrel among ourselves over the nitty gritty thing. We all believe that God is our Father. Good. Amen. You believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Amen. That's good enough. Throw the Bible away, man. Sometimes it makes me sick when I hear people talk like this. Everything in the Bible is not important except Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's what the churches have been teaching people. Practically. So, it was a revival. Ecumenism started. The Catholic Church is revived. We are living in the Church of Laodicea. Let us read this one verse in Joel. The book of Joel. The book of Joel is in the, if you don't know where it is, well, it's somewhere at the end of your Old Testament. These are all the little prophets, as they used to call them. Joel chapter 1, verse 1, and it says here, the word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Petuel. Hear this, you old man, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Have this been in your days, or even in the days of our father? Tell you, your children, of it. And let your children tell their children, and their children another generation, that which the palmer worm have left, have the locusts eaten. And that which the locusts have left, have the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm have left, have the caterpillar eaten. Well, just enough of that. Here was what the prophet Joel prophesying to the people of Israel. All these worms here, they are all the same. They are all just locusts in different form. But it was translated canker worm and palmer worm. Actually, it's not true. It's just all locusts, different form of locusts. So what God is saying to the children of Israel is that you will be stripped a little by little, stripped a little by little. And that's what happened to the churches today. They have been stripped of the truth of God little by little, little by little. And what do they have today? Huh? I never heard of an independent church. You must belong to one of those. Must have, either you have, you must belong to a denomination. You know how that thinking is now. They have been stripped of the truth until they don't know what truth is anymore. We are in the church of Laodicea. Look at the church of Laodicea. You all know that, right? Okay, look at it. We are in the church of Laodicea. This is the church of Laodicea. And this hall is going to write all the way to the coming of Christ. Remember. And what follows this horse? The one who sits on it is death. It's a spirit. Huh? And if the spirit is in the man, now you're going to follow the Pope. That man is the man of death. Now, of course, can you hear me? You don't like it. But let's face fact. Learn to understand the scriptures. And even many preachers today are preachers of death. Though they quote the Bible. Once you take the word of God and you mix it with your creeds and your dogma, what is left? Nothing but death. Is that right? Anything that is not the word of God, and you take it and you mix with it, And it will be said in the Old Testament through the prophet, there's poison in the pot. Now you may have a pot of nice stew. Just add a little something that is bad. Just add a little bit of some kind of a plant that is toxic. Just a little bit, add to it. It may smell good, but add to it. The whole thing is death. Death in the pot. And that's what happened to the churches today. They are nothing but death in the pot. You understand what I'm saying? And so, we are looking at this last thing. And here is the eagle that went out to combat. Eagle is the deity, the divinity of Christ. We need to be in the spirit of Christ so that we can fly like an eagle and understand what's coming. Understand what is going on here today in the world. Because the eagle represents Jehovah's Spirit. The spirit that is lifted up high to understand the things of God as God shows his little eaglet. The eagle is screaming, calling us to spread our wings and fly. That's true. Do you see that? Because he's going to teach us and guide us. And what he says in the verse in Revelation about this horse, and power was given unto them. That's their writing on it. Hell follow. They're writing on it, hell follow. What do you mean by that? When somebody dies, you must put them in a hole in the ground. Hell means the grave. People are just following all these false preachers, and they're all just dying spiritually. They're just dying spiritually. They're going to be buried spiritually dead. It's following this horse. It looks good. Looks good. We say, everything is good. Look at today. Since the day of Martin Luther, when he bruised that Catholic head, the Catholic Church, now it's all revived. Everything is nice now. It's normal, going back to normal now. And even the church is welcoming the Pope. And that's why you have this World Council of Churches. But it says, power was given to them. Power was given to death and hell. Over a quarter of what? You say a fourth part. That's a quarter of the earth. To kill with sword. This sword here is not Matera. This sword here is a rompia. A rompia is a long sword. But the word that is used here, if you do not believe me, look in your concordance. Out from the mouth of Christ, go for the two ages rompia. Right? Okay? When God speaks the word, the sword that came out from his mouth is always this word, rumpia. And this sword has a double edge, and it always means it's a word of life and death. So what kind of power was given to, what kind of sword was given to this death? It's a long sword. Whether it's curved or straight, it cuts both ways. What is that for? You see, whatever he speaks, what come out from his mouth is a sword. Jesus speak from his mouth. It's a sub-to-age sword. And the word of God is a sub-to-age sword to cut you into life, to cut you away from life. And that's what this word is. And he was given that. And so what is going on in the world today? So how does he go about speaking to the people? Sweet talk. And with hunger, still the same, no food, no spiritual food. Do you know that when you come to a state when you're hungry, you find that you're no longer hungry anymore after you don't have food to eat? It's just when you go through a fasting. First 3 days, if you're hungry, the fourth day, stop. You don't feel hungry anymore. Some people don't realize that they have no real food for their soul. And then what we have with death and with the beast of the earth. With the beast of the earth. So the first thing is very easy. First beast is a sword. That's what you see in the first the second horse. Hunger. And that is the third horse. right? And all accumulated in death. But what is this beast of the earth? A beast in the Bible represents kingdom, empire, nations, government. And what do you think that the Pope is doing now? You talk about the one world order. Remember what President Bush talked about, one world order. Who is behind that? Go study it. There are a few group of them, and one of them is the Catholic Vatican See. The Rothschild. Yes, all these men have their either the secret society, the Illuminati. You know, all these high profile people, they have something that they are hiding. How many of you have even seen the movie Da Vinci Code? It's the secrecy behind the Catholic Church. You go and read the book about the secret of the Church of Rome. The bullions in the Vatican. Some of this book you will read them will tell you how rich Vatican City really is. Huh? How rich Rothschild really is. All these secret societies, some people don't realize they exist. And behind the worship, Satan. So, we are now today in this last horse. And all these three other horses before, they are still riding. They are still riding. They are still moving. Until the coming of Christ. Amen? Understand that? God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. For what we have received, Lord, we are thankful for the hour that we live in. To understand, Father, that you are preparing a people for the soon return of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for your holy word, Lord, to guide us and keep us. May we hold fast the word of God in our heart and seeing the days fast approaching us to the day that we all are expecting, Lord, when our body will be transformed and then be caught up to meet Christ in the air. So, Lord, keep us in your hand. Keep us in your word. Keep us in your spirit. And guide us, Father, by your grace and your mercy, walking before us. We give you all the praise and glory, Father, for giving us once again your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for a propitiation for our sin. In Jesus' name we pray and worship you, Father. Amen.